Will God grant justice to those who ask for it? When I first read this text, I was confused about what it was saying. We've got this unjust judge and widow going back and forth about the justice that the widow deserves. And then Jesus says, won't God grant justice to those who ask for it? I struggled with the message that I was hearing behind that question. In it, I hear some undertones of God helps those who help themselves, and bad things happen to people who deserve it, or justice comes for the rich and powerful before it comes to the oppressed and marginalized. And none of those things are in line with my understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so I had to do some more digging. Some of you may be familiar with an organization called Project Transformation. Project Transformation, PT for short, but not to be confused with physical therapy or physical training or any of those other PT acronyms. Project Transformation. Project Transformation is a nonprofit organization which offers literacy-based summer and after-school programs for children and youth in urban areas. These programs are housed in churches that are struggling to remain relevant to their communities. College-age young adults, like ourselves, are hired to facilitate these programs and live in intentional community while exploring vocational discernment together. So if you're looking for an internship this summer, I can tell you all about this one. Just let me know. This past summer, I was a house pastor with Project Transformation in Nashville, Tennessee. So I predominantly worked with the interns in an intentional community more than the children at site. But of course, so much of that intern experience is surrounding the children, so it makes sense that I spent some time there too, especially when an intern was sick and somebody needed to fill in. That was me. So this summer, I was doing that, filling in at site for an intern who's a little over halfway through this 8-week summer program. So at this point, I've heard lots of stories about some of these children. So when I walk into a room and I can pick out a child based on the behavior I've heard because of something I heard at dinner the night before, I don't know if it's a cool thing. Well, listen to the rest. So I walk into the fellowship hall where they're about to serve breakfast. The first thing I see is this girl that I've never met before. But she's about to punch another kid in the face. So I knew it was Jasmine, who I'd heard about at dinner the night before. Now, of course, we have a no violence policy at PT, and with 80 children and 8 college interns who have varying levels of comfort and skill in classroom management, and one whole week of training about 5 weeks ago, that no violence policy is very strictly observed with no issues. That's a joke. That's not. This is a learning experience for all involved in Project Transformation Summer. We have guidelines and expectations to help make our jobs a little more manageable, but kids fight sometimes, and interns don't always see what caused it. In our training at PT, we place a very heavy emphasis on social-emotional learning and health with children. So in that fashion, I walked over to Jasmine. We found a quiet place to chat about why it's not okay to punch people after she calmed down. And then we went and helped serve breakfast together to the other kids. Later that day, after all the kids had gone home, the interns and I were debriefing from the whole day, and one of them, Kim, told us another story about Jasmine. Jasmine had gotten incredibly worked up during a transition to the art classroom and tried to push a kid down the stairs. It's not funny, but it was. But this time, it was different because the intern that was walking with the class heard the child that Jasmine was about to push down the stairs make a hateful comment about her. So when she pulled Jasmine aside, Jasmine put on a strong face, went through the motions of calming down just like she had with me, accepting that she was wrong to push somebody else down the stairs, and expected to be able to move on about her day. But the intern took a more intentional approach here. She asked what happened to make Jasmine so angry, hoping that she would open up about what the other child had said without having to say, "I heard what the other kid said." But Jasmine was reluctant, tried to brush it off, and move on. So Kim said, "Okay, but I heard. Do you want to talk about it?" Jasmine just sort of stared at him and then burst into tears. But with that came this moment of vulnerability where she was able to open up about all sorts of some of the other things that kids were saying to her, about her weight, about her hair, about her skin tone. But more than that, she talked about how she was the only person who could advocate for herself, because every time she's tried to tell a teacher, they don't do anything about it. So here, that intern had a choice to make. Obviously, this needed to be addressed, but how? First, she apologized to Jasmine for not having seen all of the hurt that has been caused to her in these situations. She promised that something would be done, and she asked if Jasmine would be willing to talk with the other children being mean if she was there with them. Jasmine asked if she could talk about it, and they went back to art and worked on an art project for them. In that moment, they were able to like point out who the other kids were that had been involved in this altercation. So then Kim was able to pull out those students one by one and ask for their version of this story that had happened on the stairs. And for the most part, that story supported Jasmine's version. Obviously, there are some minute detail changes about who said what first, but for the most part, the story was pieced together that way. So, after Kim talked to all of the students, she went back to Jasmine and said, "Okay, how do you feel about this? Do you want to go do it?" Jasmine was on board as long as Kim was going to be there. We have meetings like this a lot at PT. We call them restorative circles. We have them with staff, interns, children, whoever is involved in the altercation. They get an opportunity to mutually work toward restoration of the relationship that has been broken. So, each party gets a side to share their side of the story with no interruption and no shame. They were given part in cultivating a safe space to work through what happened. And they did it. And the whole team of interns is sitting there crying as Kim is telling us this story at the end of the day. And I don't know if I could have said it then, but as I was writing this sermon and was reminded of this happening, I think that my tears were connected to the guilt that I felt because of the way that I had dealt with Jasmine that morning. Okay, great, like don't punch anybody in the face, let's go serve breakfast, right? Obviously there were more words than that exchange, but like that general, like, okay, let's solve this problem and move on idea is what was eating at me. So to bring that back to our scripture in Luke, just before this parable, Jesus has been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God is going to get here. And Jesus says to them, "It's not observable in the ways you're looking for it. The kingdom of God is among you." He then says to the disciples, "The days of the Son of Man are coming. Do not be distracted by the people who claim to know when they are coming or what they will look like. Keep working toward the kingdom of God." And then he tells this parable that we just read. I think there are lots of things that we can take from this story. First is that contrary to my reading, Jesus is not saying that God is like this unjust judge. He's saying that even if the unjust judge granted justice to the widow, well, even because, like, I misread that, sorry. even though the unjust judge granted justice to the widow. We can't begin to imagine the scale to which God will go to grant justice to us, the people of God. Another thing to consider are the characters in the parable and who they represent. The widow throughout Luke's gospel represents people who are marginalized. The judge represents the systems of power and privilege that perpetually work against the liberation of the oppressed. The widow never had a chance of the judge granting justice to her based on the systems that were in place that would have put them both there. And yet, in Jesus' story, she got the justice she deserved. So is this why we pray? To receive what we pray for? Maybe, but what about the people who never receive an answer to their prayers? I might argue that this parable is not even meant to answer that question. This is rather an encouragement from Jesus to his disciples to stay hopeful. Keep working for justice and stay hopeful. After all, this is a time in Jesus' ministry where people are starting to mock Jesus and his disciples. They're getting tired. Tired of being questioned, tired of working for something they may never see. One of the best things I've learned in seminary thus far about the sermon writing process, specifically, is taking time to examine scripture from the perspectives of the people in the story. In this story, the judge, whose job is literally to declare God's judgment and establish shalom, or peace, that's a big responsibility here. This parable straight up says this judge does not fear God or care about the people. So, you're two jobs and you're not doing it. Cool. Great. He grants justice regardless, but there's a larger message here. He has bought into the system that perpetuates harm against the marginalized because of the privilege associated with his status as a judge. The widow has been and continues to cry out to this judge for justice because she knows she's been wronged. But is she not tired? There are certainly moments where I identify with the widow in my life, but there are maybe more moments where I identify with this judge. In my story from Project Transformation this summer, I see Jasmine as the widow. There is so much more going on in her head and in her heart than any of us were paying attention to that day, except for Kim. Maybe we didn't want to see it, or maybe we were overwhelmed with all the other things happening around us. But the reality is we didn't see it. In those moments, we let her down. And it wasn't until Kim heard her cry that they were able to walk together to the path of justice that Jasmine deserved. I'll close with this. The kingdom of God is among us. Who is crying out that we need to listen to? Who do we need to surround with love and support in our communities? Who do we need to stand beside while we advocate for a more perfect world? This path looks different for all of us. It has to. We are all called to a unique vocation that fits us. But what does it look like for you to do this work?